Hello and welcome to Wisconsin's annual birthday celebration honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And now, here is Toya Washington, co-MC for today's program. Please give her a round of applause.
Hello, Wisconsin. It is great to be back here in Madison, and of course, good to see all of these wonderful faces here. It is my pleasure and honor to welcome each of you to Wisconsin's 29th annual tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., presented here in the Capitol Rotunda. It is the oldest official state celebration in the nation, and today we come together to remember Dr. King through words and music. Fabu is Madison, Wisconsin's poet laureate. She serves the Madison community as a literary artist, storyteller, author, and educator. Please rise as Fabu leads us in our invocation entitled, I'll Make a Difference.
We are grateful to no longer feel, to no longer personally feel, or clearly remember the bleak, stretched out years when Black people were shut up or shut down by racism and inequality. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a triumphant leader, cracking wide the silence of terror, which allowed our voices to soar free. Our elders made a difference. Racism and inequality have lessened their grips, yet are not completely vanquished. What about each of us making a difference? In our time, in our home, in our city, we can make a tremendous difference when each of us says and means, I will make a difference for right. I will make a difference for right. I will make a difference for right. I'll make a difference by living a determined life with personal justice for all. I'll make a difference by closely examining if racism and inequality exists at my job, my business, in my spheres of influence. I'll make a difference in the lives of oppressed people by opening up my mouth and using my strong voice to say, I do not agree with wrong. I do not agree with wrong. I do not agree with wrong. I'll make a difference for the good, just like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and millions of others. Amen.
You guys can be seated now. Thank you very much. Her next publication is called African American Life in Haiku. It will be published in 2011 by Parallel Press. Thank you very much, Fabu. And now, music to commemorate Dr. King's birthday, featuring Highway to Heaven with a big band arrangement of All Creatures of Our God and King, followed by the MLK Community Choir with the arrangement of We Shall Walk Through the Valley of in Peace. First, here is Highway to Heaven.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the MLK Community Choir and the Highway to Heaven Big Band, which every time I come here, you guys warm my heart. So talented, so wonderful. Please join me in greeting the executive producer and organizer of Wisconsin's annual tribute to Dr. King. You may know him for his musical efforts as a conductor, concert singer, or from his weekly radio program, Higher Ground, which has become a hit with listeners all around the state. Here is Wisconsin's own Jonathan Overby.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming out today to celebrate Dr. King's birthday. What a special day it is today, particularly with what's going to happen tomorrow. What a prelude, huh? Isn't this a great setting? Thank you to Toya Washington from WISN-TV and Milwaukee News Anchor. And, well, you know she's one of Madison's own as well. Yeah, give her a round of applause, Toya Washington. Thank you. She's a new wife and new mom as well. Well, we have a very special award to present right now. And it is Wisconsin's MLK Heritage Award, which goes annually to either an individual, an agency, or a collective of people who serve their communities in profoundly beneficial ways. Joining me to present the first of our awards today is Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. This particular award is going this year to the Madison Area Urban Ministry, which has worked for social justice for over three decades as an interfaith coalition of congregations and individuals of all beliefs. Now, the Madison Area Urban Ministry has a wonderful mission to stand with the poor, those who are hurting, and with neighbors, they stand. Stand because they want to see neighbors working together. And here's a word we've heard quite often these days, working together for change. They are also a champion of justice and for healing. And they have a movement to better assist, particularly former prisoners, to successfully re-enter the community. Accepting the award for the Madison Area Urban Ministry is Barbara McKinney. Please give her a warm welcome.
Dr. King spoke of the urgency of now. Like Dr. King, Mom has for over 35 years focused on justice. Dr. King believed in the potential and inherent goodness of people and the founding principles of this country. Mom has served as a prophetic voice for justice in this community, bringing people together for social change. As our country stands poised tomorrow to take another step toward the realization of Dr. King's dream, we will pledge that we will continue our work to bring an end to the racial disparities and other injustices that plague our criminal justice system. We pledge to continue our work to ensure that all of our neighbors have sage and affordable housing, have access to health care, including adequate mental health services. We pledge to continue to work for economic justice and jobs that pay a fair wage for a fair day's work. We pledge to continue restorative justice programs, helping those returning from prison or jail to rebuild their lives and holding them accountable for their actions.
We are deeply honored to be recipients of this award, and it is shared with the literally thousands of individual volunteers of our faith community and partners who have helped us in this ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's time for some more music by an ensemble known as Soles, performing Quien Será, and it's a love song. Here they are. Please give them a warm Dr. King tribute welcome.
¿Quién será la que me quiera a mí? ¿Quién será? ¿Quién será? Oh, ¿quién será la que me quiera su amor? ¿Quién será? ¿Quién será? Yo no sé si la podré encontrar. Yo no sé, yo no sé. Yo no sé si la podré encontrar. Yo no sé, yo no sé.
Well, it's time, dear friends, for us to take part in what is a very special part of our annual tribute to Dr. King. It's been a 28-year-old tradition here in the Rotunda in memory of Dr. King. We all stand at this point in the program and say hello to someone that you don't know, a stranger. Reach across the aisle and greet them in the spirit of Dr. King's memory of love for all of humanity. And for those of you listening to our program through your radio, computer, or television, I invite you to do the same by pausing for just a moment to reflect on how you and I can make a positive difference in the communities where we live and work. The theme for this year's celebration of Dr. King's birthday is Dare to Live the Dream. One of the most powerful ways for us to do that is to serve each other as a means of helping the least fortunate to reach their dream. This was exemplified by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who worked tirelessly toward a dream of equality, believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all, and encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying the principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live. Many around the country are calling this day the King Day of Service. And with this mission of transforming Dr. King's life, let us go out to offer some community service that helps solve some of the social problems of our community, such as fixing up a school or a senior citizen center, or to help build a sense of community or mutual responsibility through your shared talents. These efforts strengthen communities, empower individuals, and build lasting bridges between diverse communities. It's the best gift we could offer today's birthday celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as a means of overcoming the social ills that unfortunately still plague our nation and much of the world. Well, it's a chance for all of us here to show off our beautiful voices. So I'm going to ask you to stand and let's sing that timeless song, We Shall Overcome, that song that was so important to the civil rights movement, the song that sustained those folks, gave them courage, those marchers and protesters, and it gave them comfort in the midst of the storms they encountered.
We shall overcome.
Join arms with someone near you.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
Sing that again. Come on, everybody, sing out.
Guys, should give yourselves another round of applause. If that didn't give you goosebumps, I don't know what would. Now, once again, here is the MLK Community Choir, the choral work Live Your Dream, composed by Greg Gilpin, featuring soloist Jania Allard, harpist Karen Otts, and pianist Michael Hillestad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The theme for this year's celebration of Dr. King's birthday is to dare to live your dream. There was a time in our country when the dream was a hope that diverse groups like the ones sitting around you here in the rotunda today could come together in peace and harmony. That dream has been realized. Let's continue our celebration with more music from the Highway to Heaven Big Band and an arrangement of the spiritual Joshua Fit the Battle featuring soloist Carmen Fisher.
Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho.
Highway to Heaven. Give him a big round of applause, please. Thank you very much. Well, friends, it's time to present the second of our MLK Awards today to Will Allen, who is an urban farmer who is transforming the cultivation, production, and delivery of healthy foods to the underserved urban populations in Wisconsin. In 1995, while assisting neighborhood children with a gardening project, Allen began developing the farming methods and educational programs that are now the hallmark of the nonprofit organization Growing Power, which he directs and co-founded. Guiding all of his efforts is the recognition that the unhealthy diets of low-income urban populations and such are related to some of the health challenges, such as obesity and diabetes, largely demons to our health. Allen's holistic farming models incorporates both cultivating foodstuffs and designing food distribution networks in an urban setting. Presenting the award again is Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. Now presenting on behalf of Will Allen, here's Jerry Kaufman to accept this year's Wisconsin's annual MLK Heritage Award.
As a Madison resident and a great admirer of Martin Luther King, I was planning to come to this event today, but I got a call this morning from Will Allen, who was in Milwaukee, and he asked me if I could stand in for him today to accept this wonderful award. Will apologizes for not being here himself, but this is a season of harvests for him. He recently was awarded the MacArthur Foundation Genius Award, the second farmer in the world, in the United States. He was honored this morning at the 12th annual Martin Luther King Breakfast by being given the Luther King the Luther Gaines for Strong Communities Award. He spoke to 800 people at the breakfast this morning. By the time the event was over, he realized it was going to be very difficult for him to get to the Capitol to accept the award, the Martin King Heritage Award. Will Allen, and like Martin Luther King, had a dream when he bought a scruffy 2-acre parcel of land on the north side of Milwaukee about 15 years ago. It had 5 dilapidated greenhouses on it, the last remaining greenhouses in the city of Milwaukee. His dream was to build a community food center which would serve as a model and inspiration for communities all over the country to provide affordable, quality, sustainable, and healthy food for everyone, but especially those with least access to such food, the urban poor. Growing Power is well on the way to doing this through the inventiveness, ingenuity, and remarkable talent of Will Allen, its founder and driving force. Will Allen is 6'7" tall. As you can see, I'm about a foot shorter than that. But as president of the Growing Power Board of Directors, I'm proud to accept this distinguished award on behalf of Will Allen. He thanks you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, we have a chance to hear some music from Debbie Biddle, and she's accompanied by Leotha Stanley with a very special Dr. King tribute number. It's a song written by the legendary Edwin Hawkins entitled This Day. Here's Debbie Biddle.
Our daily bread, you Soprano Debbie Biddle with Leotha Stanley at the piano. Well, this is Wisconsin's 29th annual tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., presented here in the Capitol Rotunda in Madison, Wisconsin, where behind me are many dignitaries, leaders, preachers, community folks who serve their communities in profound ways. And I'd like to invite them to stand so you can get a good look at them, because they're here to celebrate as well the legacy of Dr. King. They support this program very, very passionately. So I'm going to ask them to stand. You take a good look at them and give them a wonderful round of applause. Please, everybody, would you stand up for me to see you? We have a special treat for you today from UW-Madison, their First Wave Spoken Word Program. And here to render a very unique composition is Diana Harris, and it's called For Emmett Till.
Epitaph. Have you ever sent your loved son on a vacation and had him return to you in a pine box so horribly battered and waterlogged that someone has to tell you that this sickening sight is your son lynched, Mammy Bradley? For Emmett Till. Hano walked in darkness. I told baby be careful. Don't dance on no white ropes with loops. Chicago ain't as cruel as a hot field play graveyard of your forefathers. Him smiled pretty and winked a star twinkle. Him told white lady, bye, baby, and signed the death warrant with them sticky fingers. White lady runs scared to master, cause boldness breeds in darkness. White men scurry through the night and them rob her baby cradle. Couldn't even leave him hollow body. Them take him to the river, wash them hands of him innocence and him existence. Gave him a crown, a barbed wire at first. Waited with cotton gin, still fresh with them grandfather's fingerprints, and him sank to the bottom of the river where the stench of Negro is washed away along with his history. Cared to be only heard in the wind. But when he rose again, her cried, baby be choked on something black, darker than racism. Her cried, him dug him fingernails into the earth and dragged him with him now. Her stand in hell, her cried, baby be chilly. Cold water waiting, unholy baptism chilly. Her cried, him story be dried on him skin with the Tallahatchie rinsed away and wondered why it couldn't rinse off her sorrow. Her cried on justice and him didn't reply, but her understood him be prisoner to prejudice. Her cried, weeping willows hang sorry like her body, like him body, like him daddy's body, and her be haunted, say, I see Negro babies with white blood in them, sprouting from him cracked lips, and massa be smashing them faces as he danced on their color with him black racism boots, and they cry out for Jesus, but be muffled by white men and cackle, and them babies grow from under his boots, grown and still connected to him. Like fetus to mother. They look like manipulation and self-hate. Them look like a baby's face, swollen and bloated with white man fear. Her cried, baby still be beautiful. Him look like silent revolution and pregnant justice. Him still look like her baby. Her pain be stagnant on the earth from Chicago to Money, Mississippi in a river of tears. Her cried him eyes be gouged out, but him still see, and she fought fists against black night for the spectators to see what had been done to her baby. Mammy Bradley got her son's life wrapped round her fingers like nooses and revolutions. She tread soft as rivers and be comforted by the wind. It whispered to her him story and carry peace, and she drank it to cool a throat parched from drinking her own black misery. Her kissed the hollow body and be silent, because his face told more of black history than rivers. I heard they sang a pretty song at your funeral. I heard that heads hung low in shame.
Diana Harris, thank you. And now an introduction of our guest speaker today, Keith Beauchamp, who attended Southern University in Baton Rouge, where he studied criminal justice with the intention of becoming a civil rights attorney. As a young boy in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Beauchamp had his share of run-ins with racism, but it wasn't until an incident where he was assaulted by an undercover police officer after dancing with a white woman at a party that he felt compelled to leave college. He traveled to New York, where he pursued his dream of being a filmmaker. He honed his behind-the-camera skills during the day and spent his evenings doing research and reaching out to anyone who might have information on the Emmett Till case, a story told to Beauchamp when he was just 10 years old. Through his journey, he tracked and spoke with witnesses who had never before spoken about the case. He befriended Mamie Till Mobley, Emmett's mother, who spoke in this very setting some years ago. Beauchamp's documentary is called The Untold Story of Emmett Lewis Till. He's been featured on 60 Minutes, ABC World News Tonight, CNN, and BBC, as well as hundreds of publications around the world. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to have him here today to share his message with us. Please give a warm Wisconsin welcome to our guest speaker, Keith Beauchamp.
Many thanks to Africa Song Communications and the State Planning Committee, and to all who are here this afternoon on this glorious occasion. I come to you in the spirit of the late Dr. Martin Luther King. I come to you in the spirit of Rosa Parks. I come to you in the spirit of the late Mamie Till Mobley. I come to you, my sisters and brothers, in the spirit of all who had gone on to the great beyond, hoping that their legacy will foster brotherly love around our fellow man. Dr. King said that freedom is never voluntarily given to the oppressor, but it must be demanded by the oppressed. That God has two outstretched arms. One is strong enough to surround us with justice, and the other, which is gentle enough to embrace us with grace. It has been said that a well-made clock is a beautiful thing to behold. When each gear is functioning properly, it works as a viable unit, ticking away the minutes and the hours with a proud precision. The African-American community, the white community, and our unity as a human race is rather like that clock. Composed of many parts, the Wisconsin government and our country run on the functioning of the many units of which it is composed. And like that clock, when all these units are working well together, it is truly a joy to behold. Now, many feel that the job of our public figures is to look after these gears of our clock and see the functioning of its units. As citizens, activists, and filmmakers, many of us do our part to contribute to that working clock. As citizens, many of us are perplexed by many actions that are taken in various situations. Many hear about social problems and do nothing. And many talk, and yet there are others who take action, action driven by an inner spiritual force. And this force we would call passion. The kind of passion that George Washington Carver, born a slave, Yeah, he was one of the greatest agricultural scientists in America, taking a little peanut, developing 300 uses from it. The kind of passion of Mary Bethune, who devoted her life bringing dignity and opportunity and hope to Black Americans. I speak of Sister Harriet Tubman, who helps over 300 slaves escape and over 3,000 pass through the Underground Railroad. I'm talking about being dedicated to the cause. And of course, our modern-day Sister Rosa Parks, who apparently got so tired that one day she refused to get up from her seat on that bus in Montgomery, Alabama. For the young people who are here, as a young adult, I thought I had all my life planned out. I was going to college. I was going to major in engineering because my older sister, she graduated in engineering. And of course, it didn't pan out. Then I thought about going into criminal justice in hopes that one day I'll become a civil rights attorney. And as the story goes, of course, this didn't plan out either. I decided to go and join my childhood friends in New York City, where I was employed as a writer and a producer, where I began to produce and direct music videos. But while sitting at my computer one day, a name came to me, Emmett Till, and my journey began. You see, when I was just 10 years old, I was in my parents' study, and I came across a Jet magazine that had the photograph of Emmett Till. And like many of us who saw that photograph for the first time, it shocked me so much that my parents came in and explained the story to me. But throughout my life, Emmett Till's name kept resurfacing. When I got into high school, I was interracially dating, and the first thing my parents would often tell me was, "Keith, don't let what happened to Emmett Till happen to you." The name Emmett Till became a household name throughout the Deep South. The year was 1955. The day was August 28th. The place was the Delta of Money, Mississippi, a case that has shocked and hunted a nation for more than five decades, a case that is still unresolved and unsolved, the untold story, the murder of Emmett Till. A child who begged his mother, the late Mrs. Mamie Till Mobley, to let him go down to the Deep South to visit relatives, a vacation that will not only be remembered by his family, but of course now the whole world. Little did Mrs. Mobley think in a week's time her son, Emmett, her only child, would be abducted from his great uncle's home and tortured for one of the oldest taboos of the South, addressing a white woman in public. Two men, Roy Bryan and J.W. Miller, were soon arrested, but they were later acquitted in a court of law by an all-white, all-male jury. Of course, 4 months after the crime, Roy Bryan and J.W. Miller would confess to the murder of Emmett Lewis Till to a reporter by the name of William Bradford Huey, who would then publish their story in Look magazine for $4,000. Of course, many felt it was going to cause a change, and people were outraged around the country, a change that is currently perhaps in our midst. For over 40 years, Emmett Till's dear mother, who I became very fond of, fought so hard to get her son's case reopened. And finally, on May 10, 2004, but after Mrs. Mobley's passing, the Justice Department reopened the murder case of Emmett Till. This past year, I've been working on many other unsolved civil rights murder cases because I think these cases are extremely important for our society today, and hopefully I could bring closures to those families. I speak of the murders of Reverend George Lee and Lamar Smith, who also on that bloody summer of 1955 lost their lives trying to persuade African Americans to utilize their constitutional right as citizens of this country to vote. George Wesley Lee, gunned down, going home. And Lamar Dinty Smith, murdered on the courthouse lawn in broad daylight. Both men understood their plight, and on their shoulders, President Barack Obama will stand. In mid-February, I would continue on my journey to tell these type of stories when I tell the story of an innocent mother of 10, Johnny Mae Chappelle, who was shot and left on the side of the road to die during the Jacksonville riots of 1964. So you see, we continue to struggle. We continue to watch the clock as time slowly ticks away, in hopes that someday and somehow that all parts will come together and we will find justice for those who have been wronged. There is no way to succeed in struggle without commitment and a will to take the torch and run with it. I believe we must all become freedom conductors. We must all spark change in our own nonviolent way. The revolution of the 1960s and 50s, and even the ones that we're looking forward to today, the revolution of change, will not happen by playing follow the leader. We must all become leaders. We must all take a stand. We must all be willing to understand change, cope with change, accept change, embrace change, and lead change. You see, in the 1950s and the 1960s, we were able to identify our enemy, and that enemy's name was Jim Crow. But present day, now this enemy has taken on too many different forms, from racial profiling, police brutality, and the continuous uneven scales of Lady Justice. If Dr. King were alive today, I believe he would want to see a nation of unity, a nation of equal opportunity for all, a nation where we all can get along in harmony, a nation being rid of violence and crime, a nation where injustice becomes justice. He will want us all to embrace his vision so that years to come, generations will reap the benefits of his labor. Dr. King's dream and our reality lives on in each and every one of us. Dr. King was the gentle warrior of the civil rights movement, the great humanitarian who advocated nonviolence as a way of life, a man of great integrity and intellect, a master speaker who gained fame throughout the world for his leadership ambitions, one who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, fighting so hard to eliminate social injustice. You know, it takes a special kind of man who would put his life on hold and not be selfish, to follow a vision, a dream, to uplift and change the condition of a people. It takes a special kind of man with great wisdom and grace, one who has elevated to the highest degree of spirituality, who would pay the ultimate sacrifice, his life, in order to lay the foundation and the blueprint for our humanity so that you could live a life of tranquility and in a world where justice rises to the occasion. You see, the Creator gives all beings a purpose in life. And while growing up in the Deep South, my parents often instilled in me the value for speaking for those who can no longer speak for themselves, the less fortunate, the young, the old, and those who have been affected by injustice. But would Dr. King be happy today about this generation, an extension to his dream? Well, from Emmett Till 50 years ago to Hurricane Katrina 50 years later, and now to President Obama, a sense of Dr. King's dream is being realized in this great United States of America. But it must not stop now. Still, people of the color and the poor are at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to financial and social relief. And the displacement of those who were affected by Katrina, this man-made disaster, will continue to have a long-term effect in my home in Louisiana, in politics, and in this country as a whole. Katrina was what I believe to be the first shifting of this new paradigm. It's a wake-up call for this generation to stand up and take its rightful course into society today and add to what our great hero foresaw. It's time for you leaders of tomorrow to begin to speak for those who can no longer speak for themselves. No more should we sit back and rely on our parents or members of their generation to fight our fights, to uphold the legacy that Dr. King has given to us. No more should we sit back in silence, walking away from those very same ideas and ethical codes of the civil rights movement that has given us all liberation. It's up to us now to begin to produce our leaders of today so we can continue where others left off. The trials and tribulations that we are facing today did not just begin. For hundreds of years, our ancestors were terrorized, but they continue to fight. Let us not forget those who paved the way for us to exist in this free society. Like Reverend Jesse Jackson would say, with no sense of history, we only exist in a vacuum. How can you respect boxer Mike Tyson while understanding Joe Louis? How can you respect our new president without knowing that he stands on the shoulders of people like Fannie Lou Hamer and the Mississippi Democrat Party? Let us to continue to carry the torch to the finish line. Let us continue to keep Dr. King's dream alive. Let us continue to make unbiased choices. Let us continue to pray and change in the hearts, pray for change in the hearts of those who have wronged our brothers. The late Dr. John Henry Clark stated, "No people are truly free until they become the instrument of their own liberation." Freedom is not a legacy that is to be quilted from one generation to next. Each generation must maintain its own freedom with its own hands. He goes on to say, in this kind world we live in, being black and beautiful means very little unless one is black and powerful. There's no way to succeed against the struggle of racism without power. This is part of our new reality. And now, our new mission. In closing, my dear friends, we cannot leave this future generation dangling in outer space. We must do all that we can to become good and productive citizens. This can only be done by sharing the history. It is my hope today that you will leave this program and be eager to share all our past history with all who would listen, remembering that if we forget our past, history will repeat itself. Thank God, Dr. King, for your vision. Thank God, Dr. King, for making America what it could be. Thank you.
Our sincere thanks to our speaker today, Keith Beauchamp. In 1968, Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. It was April 4th, and only a day after he had preached, "I don't fear any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." King was gunned down by an assassin's bullet while standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. With our honor guard represented by pipes and drum, with Masons from the Knights of the Platteville Commandery and Capital City Lodge No. 2 and trumpeters, please stand in tribute not only to Dr. King, but to all civil rights workers who paid the ultimate price for freedom, equality, and justice. Here today to present Wisconsin's annual state proclamation honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., is Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, Barbara Lawton.
Good afternoon. I'm honored to be here on behalf of Governor Jim Doyle and all of the citizens of Wisconsin to share this historic celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.'s life. His life was a civilizing force in our nation's history. He taught us that a democracy cannot endure when all of its citizens do not enjoy equal rights and protection. And today our celebration falls the day before the inauguration of the nation's first African-American president, I think that inauguration represents one facet, I suspect, of Dr. King's bold dream for us. And President-elect Barack Obama has asked us to make this a day on, not a day off, to engage in public service today, to heed Dr. Martin Luther King's most urgent question, what are you doing for others? We live in an extraordinary moment in time. One poet, Seamus Heaney, anticipated when he wrote, "But once in a lifetime, the longed-for tide of justice can arise, and hope and history rhyme." So what are we to do now? Keith called upon us to dare to live this dream. And indeed, making the dream a reality is unfinished business, and we are together authors of this narrative that will define the future of our country and this world. And inspired by two men who were determined to serve, whose insistence that it is not about them, but it is about us, we will follow that path from neighborhoods, working in neighborhoods, to seeing an African American installed in the White House, knowing that it is we, the people, who are ultimately accountable for what happens here in this building and in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. So together we must work to guide the development of public policy with justice as our beginning and our end. We have seen what happens when government loosens the rules for those at the top, making those at the bottom more vulnerable and setting a global economy into a tailspin. We want one day to see not one more child born to involuntary poverty. So in the name of Dr. Martin Luther King, let us all become accountable for making his dream a reality for the children of this state and nation. They deserve deep engagement in a proud culture, and they deserve a sense of security, physical and economic and moral security. As President Franklin Delano Roosevelt explained, freedom from fear is eternally linked with freedom from want. And so, as we remember that politics is really all about the dignity of daily life for all, let our lives be an example. Let us live justly. For if justice remains a firm foundation, our state and our nation will prosper and all will enjoy. And so, on behalf of Governor Doyle, who proclaims today that whereas Dr. King dedicated his life to the nonviolent struggle for freedom, equal opportunities, justice, and civil rights, now therefore do I, Jim Doyle, Governor of the State of Wisconsin, hereby proclaim January 19, 2009, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day in the State of Wisconsin, and I commend this observance to all citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. All right, now, for 28 years, we've handed out the proclamation. It's gone through the audience, and for 28 years, it has always come back. So we will continue the tradition. And Mr. Stanley, would you be so kind?
Here again is the MLK Community Choir featuring soloist Tisha Brown, pianist Michael Hillestad, and the choral work by Moses Hogan entitled I'll Make a Difference.
And all